I'd like you to turn, please, with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46 tonight, Psalm 46. And as you're turning up there, it's very good to see our sister Anne with us tonight. And we know that you've not been doing too well and missed several services, but we're happy that you're back with us. And, of course, our sister Hyacinth, and I said this morning, as we have missed you, we haven't seen you for a long time in the house of the Lord, well, she said, well, we were able to see you every week. And they were able to use the webcasting ministry and service. And let me encourage you to pray to that end for that ministry. It's just a situation like that that is so beneficial and so useful for folks who are shut in. It should never be an excuse for someone to stay home and not be at church if you're able to. But it is a very useful service for those who are sick or set aside and folks who are from local area, or maybe you're from a long distance away, but it's always a blessing. We often say, send us an email so we can have a record of your visit with us and a way we can pray for you, pray for your family. Don't forget to do that, please. You're always going to be in our prayers if we can pray for you in that way. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Loving Father, as we continue in thy presence now and the word being opened, I pray that our hearts will also be opened to the word. I ask, Lord, to help me to speak the truth of thy holy word, to exalt the Lord Jesus, to speak well, Father, of all of your attributes. Help us, dear God, we pray, to worship thee with all our souls. I pray that we'll now be shut in, and that every distraction will be taken, and that, Lord, there would be just a word in season to a weary heart tonight. Lord, build us up, we pray, in our most holy faith. Turn our eyes upon Jesus to look full in his wonderful face, and then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So, Father, hear our prayers now. Be with us, we ask, in the Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Psalm 46 is one that is so well known to the child of God. This psalm is often read at a funeral. I know that in pastoring, as I have gone to many a hospital bed, many a place of sickness, that this psalm has been read also. And it has been read in order to bring encouragement to the hearts of God's people. I often focus, after thinking about these words, on verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And you know, for the child of God, these words are very, very precious and very special. And I think that as we consider them in our hearts, I want you to be encouraged tonight in the things of the Lord. The title of my message to you tonight is simply this: The Unmoving Confidence of the Christian in Trouble. The Unmoving Confidence of the Christian in Time of Trouble. You know what strikes me first of all when, and we're going to be thinking on verse 1 and the first line of verse 2 of this text tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. We're thinking about those words tonight. And you know what strikes me about the great need that the Christian has for confidence in our day-to-day walk is the fact that we are found in trouble. And the Lord in His Word does not hide that from us. He does not hide the fact that we have a cross to bear. We noted that in Luke 14 today as we were reading, how that Jesus said, except a man take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. We have also been thinking in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 about how going outside the camp with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a marker of bearing His reproach. Moses, when he forsook life in Egypt, he forsook that life, rather esteeming the reproach of Christ of greater riches than all the wealth of Egypt. And so the Lord tells us that we are to cast our burdens upon the Lord. We are to call upon Him in the day of trouble, and He has promised to answer us. He says to us, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so the fact that you and I, going through our Christian life, are going to meet trouble, we're going to head it face on. We are going to find trouble in the pathway that we're walking in life. It is absolutely a mistake for the Christian to assume that because trouble comes and afflicts us, that there is something abnormal about our Christianity. In fact, we would do well to think the exact opposite. If our life is going smoothly without trouble, let us ask, are we walking in the will of God? Are we walking in the center of His perfect purpose for us? Christian, think about that. And think about that when you are inundated with this issue of trouble, when it plagues us from every side. And we step back and we wonder, well, Lord, what is going on in our lives? Is there something that You're trying to teach us through the trouble? Oh, definitely the Lord is doing that. Is the trouble necessarily a result of our sin? It can be. Sometimes, definitely it is. But many times, Christian, the evidence and the reality of trouble in our life is not because of personal indwelling sin. It is because of the forces of evil that are against us, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6, that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly and high places. And there is a world of affair going on that you and I cannot see with the physical eye. There is a great warfare that we are engaged in, and we're facing an enemy that we cannot physically see, but we know he is there. And we know that the trouble that he is attempting to bring against us is allowed by a sovereign God. That's sometimes a very difficult pill for us to swallow. That's a difficult thing for us to realize and face in our lives.
that the God who has called us in eternity, who has chosen us in Christ, who has led us by His gracious Spirit and through the grace of the Lord Jesus to Himself, He has saved us from our sin. He has given us a home in heaven, and this sovereign God is allowing trouble to come in our lives. There is a purpose, dear believer. There is a reason God has for this. And let us therefore not kick so much against the trouble, but let us pray that God will enable us to be able to abound over the trouble, or to be able, by the grace of God, to endure the trouble right through to the end. Because the thorns that we have in our flesh from the Lord, He allows them. Remember what the apostle said? He prayed for the removal of the trouble, the thorn. But God said, I'm not going to do that. But instead, I'm going to give you something much greater. I'm going to be present with you by my grace in those everyday circumstances that you are facing. I am with you, and my grace will be better than the removal of the thorn. Do we think about life like that? Believer, have you thought about life like that in the recent issues that you have? God is making no mistakes. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. Nothing is all of a sudden the Lord wringing His hands in despair, wondering, I wonder how that happened. I didn't see that one coming. No, never. Our loving and sovereign and purposeful God is a God who allows everything to occur in our life for His greater purpose. Yes, and we will be able to say with the apostle that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Tribulation will not separate us. My, how Paul made that so crystal clear. Tribulation is in our lives. It is the cross that we have to bear. And Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross, my cross, you cannot be my disciple. Count the cost, dear brother and sister, of what it means to be a believer. And when we count that cost, we will see that God has for us His sovereign intention and purpose in our lives. Let us think then, first of all, in this idea of the unmoving confidence of the Christian in trouble, think that God is the starting place when we are facing trouble. God is the starting place. The very opening word of this psalm is the word God. It is Elohim. It is the same word for God that is used in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You will also notice from our study in Hebrews that that is one, the only book in the Bible that begins with the word God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners. And this particular psalm, though it is not the only one that begins with the word God, sometimes it begins with the word Lord, Jehovah. But there's no mistaking why, right at the very forefront, the message that is wanting to be conveyed is that God must be in the center. The living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, must be in the center of our thinking. Because when God is not in the center of our thinking, believer, we are going to think incorrectly. We're going to think wrong. God is in the very beginning. And so when we think about the fact that God is the starting place when we are facing trouble, let us never forget that our loving Heavenly Father has so ordained the particular pathway that you have to take. Now, your pathway may well be different from my pathway. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a missionary in the sense of leaving home and going to a far-off place. But we also know that every single Christian is called to be a servant of the living God. And so when we think about our calling and the God who has placed His hand upon us And we know that His loving purpose in our lives is to direct us in a way in which we might honor His name and fulfill His purpose and glorify His only begotten Son. My dear friend, let us see the big picture of this in our lives. So often we will become cast down and set aside. We will lose our focus and our vision when we see not the great picture of what God is doing and intending, but we see it only in minuscule, in our little problem that we are facing. The Apostle Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what is it doing? It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is at work in our lives. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for the fact that we are laborers together with Him. Thank God that He is purposing every single situation that we are facing. God, the living God, must be the starting point in all of our thinking, all of our assessment, all of our evaluation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, is the author and the finisher. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And dear friends, when we consider that the God who has created us, the God who has saved us, the God who has purposed what He is doing in our lives, He will not let us go. He will not forsake us. He will not set us aside. He wants us to depend upon Him. He wants to draw us near to Himself. He wants us not to lose sight of the fact that He is preeminent in all things. And He is purposing whatsoever comes to pass. Oh, dear Christian, do not allow the devil to tempt you to lose sight of that great and eternal purposeful value. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the God who has chosen us, the God who has made us, the God who has redeemed us, the Savior who died on the cross of Calvary to give us life and forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. When we come to face trouble, let us not forget God in the very first place. If we ignore that, we will be like a bug against a light. We will keep banging ourselves around, and we will fail to see that God is doing something greater in us. Let us not be dumb like a bug, but rather let us see clearly through the Scripture, through understanding the cross that we are to bear, for understanding the very word that we have in our motto text of this year. We are to call unto the Lord, and He will show us great and mighty things which we did not know. Please notice in the second place here that God promises to be our protector in the time of trouble. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and our strength. Let me read to you something from the Treasury of David by Mr. Spurgeon, and he gives here a quote by Martin Luther talking about this psalm. He said, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends His church and His word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." You may or may not have noticed that the hymns that we have sung tonight in our service have, for the most part, all of three of the four have been taken from Psalm 46. One that we haven't sung, that we may well sing at the conclusion of the service, is Luther's own hymn that was taken and written around Psalm 46. Sometimes, you know, we have the idea that these reformers were like supermen. And the reformers like Luther and Melanchthon and Zwingli Calvin and all these men that they did not have feet of clay, and they didn't have any fainting fits. Well, that wasn't true. As a matter of fact, it was so true that in Luther's time, when they were facing the onslaughts of the political problem of the day against the Church of Rome and against the Pope himself excommunicating Luther and all the barking voices that were against him, Luther would say to Melanchthon, who was his right-hand man and the academic, really, of the Reformation in Germany at that time, he would say this: "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm." And they would sing it to Luther's own characteristic tune. And so when their hearts would be cast down, they would turn to the word of the Lord, and they would turn to this psalm. And they would sing, both of them together, and you could almost hear them singing out this psalm to the worship of God, to the encouragement of their hearts, to the great reality that they knew that God was their refuge in the time of their trouble, that God was their strength. And you, believer, will also find in the time of your trouble that the Lord, the living God, is your refuge. It's believed by some commentators that this psalm was written with an eye toward the place called Masada in Israel. Masada was a natural fortress, a fortress where it's believed that David fled to as he was fleeing from Saul. And it is certainly true that in different time periods, the Israelites have used that fortress to defend themselves against their enemies who had come. It was said that it would only take one or two men to defend against an army's attack, because there was only one way up the serpentine path to get into that place called Masada. And so the people who were there abiding on the top of this mountain plateau, and they built themselves virtually a city up there. They were growing crops and vegetables. They had a water supply that they were able to gather and keep in the cavern of that mountain. But you see, my friend, they looked upon a natural defense. But here, the psalmist is looking toward the spiritual defense that you and I have, that God Himself is our refuge. And oh, how precious are those words. He is our refuge and strength. He is not the refuge and strength of the ungodly. He is not the refuge and strength of the heathen. He is the refuge and strength of His own redeemed, saved people, you tonight and me. And let us therefore, brothers and sisters, be encouraged by this, that in the times where our feet are failing, in the times when our knees don't seem spiritually to be able to hold us up to go on, when we think we're ready to collapse and it's all over, we're all washed up, let us come back to the truth of these words, that our living and loving God is the one who has come to us in the time of our need. He is our refuge. He is our protection. But not only, friend, is He your refuge tonight to protect you against anything that He has not allowed, He is also the strength for the child of God. Do we take the weight of that word enough? Do we take the value of what God is saying to us? Do you, Christian, realize tonight in your heart that the strength of the living God is our strength? That is, we're not talking about some futile power of man where he imagines that he is strong. In another psalm, David said, "It is a foolhardy thing to trust in the strength of a horse, to trust in the strength of the legs of a man, to trust in the army of a king." Any king who thinks he's going to get a victory by a big army, he doesn't get it. And for the child of God, we are weak in ourselves, and it seems we have no might and no power. But dear child of God, never forget this. The living God is our refuge, our strength. He has promised to be our power and our encouragement, and the one to carry us forward in every time of need. We face today what seems to be an onslaught, whether it's to the north of us and the great amount of ungodly who worship another god. And we pray, Lord, how can we be a witness to our Muslim neighbors? How can we be a better testimony for them? But it seems as they have rejected the Christ of the Bible, they've rejected the Word of God in many aspects of it. And Lord, we wonder, how can we possibly have an influence in this day? And never mind false religions, what about the secularism of the day? What about the stuff that's going on in downtown Toronto today with the wickedness of this pride movement? And oh, friends, we wonder, are we not overwhelmed by it all? What are we going to do in our day? You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to do what the Lord has told us to do. We turn our eyes toward our Father in heaven and we say, oh God, our refuge, let us hide ourselves in Thee. Our refuge and our strength. The Lord has promised to be our abiding strength. Mr. Spurgeon commented this. He said, when the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the heavens and the earth shall pass away in the last general conflagration, we shall serenely behold the wreck of matter and the crash of worlds, for even then our refuge shall preserve us from all evil, our strength shall prepare us for all good. What a view that this brother had of the Lord's sovereignty, of His power. What a view as he looked down through the course of nature and could see that one day all things in the physical form will be destroyed, when all things will be burned up at the judgment at the end. And yet when all worlds seem to disappear and all things that we have confidence in is gone, yet we know that our God remains the strength and the refuge for the child of God. But you notice what it also says at the end of verse 1. He says, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. The word very, it means simply great or exceeding. Great or exceeding. And the word present means sufficient or secure. So we could read this verse again by this way: God is our refuge and strength, an exceeding great and sufficient help in trouble. And when we think about that, the Lord coming to us and multiplying these words, the Holy Spirit leading the psalmist to write these words by way of encouragement, not only for himself and the people in his day, but for believers in every time period, every generation. And that's where you and I take this to ourselves. Our living God is an exceeding great comfort and security and an all-sufficient deliverer. He is our God, believer, tonight. Rest your weary soul in Him. Rest yourself secure. Turn your eyes by faith upon Jesus and see in the hand of the mighty Redeemer of our souls. He is our deliverer. He is our great and sufficient help in the time of our trouble. And so, God must be the starting point. He must be the starting place when we are facing trouble. And then secondly, let us not forget that God is our protector in time of trouble. And then thirdly and finally, God is our fearless confidence in the time of trouble. The opening phrase of the second verse, therefore, will not we fear. Therefore is used so often in the Psalms as a point to move forward on. a point to consider what has gone before. And so he's saying, if you believe the truth and the reality of verse 1, therefore, what are you going to believe as a result of that? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Therefore, will not we fear? If God who has created us is the God who is present with us in every time of need, is the God who is going to be our great, our very sufficient strength to deliver us, is there any warrant to fear? Is there any justifiable excuse that you have to be afraid? Believer, when you're confronted with this, you have to acknowledge in your heart, there is absolutely no reason for me to be afraid. And as a matter of fact, when we are afraid in the light, and when faced with this verse, it is a matter of distrust in the Lord. Now the Lord knows our frame, doesn't He? He remembers that we are dust. And the Lord's not quick to condemn us when we go through our times of being afraid, which all of us do. We all fear. Perhaps we fear failure ourselves. We fear we're going to disappoint the Lord or dishonor His name. We fear a thousand different things. But every time we are confronted with fear, we must bring those fears to the Lord and bring them to the promise of Psalm 46, 1 and 2. Therefore will not we fear. The enemy is great, we know. But God is greater than our enemy. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, dear believer, tonight, rejoice in Him. Thank God for the trouble that you have, because it is a gift from the Lord. Cast thy burden, thy gift upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. And let us bring all the troubles and say, oh God, you are greater and mightier and more able to help us than anything that Satan can bring against us. It is only by a walk of faith close to the Savior that we'll be able to do this. It is not by our own energy. It's certainly not going to be by our own willpower. That's failed us many times. It's only going to be by receiving the benefit, the gift of the Spirit of God living in us, the gift of faith that He has granted to us, and of putting that into practice and saying, Lord, here I am, weak as I am. I want to walk with You. I want to live my life according to the Scripture. I want to be honorable in Your hand. And I want to live in this very corrupt age as salt in the earth, as a light to shine, as a testimony to go forward. May God grant that to us this evening. May He help us in our congregation. May He bless us in our public witness. May He bless us as we go forward against the enemy that we face on every hand, because our God is able to deliver us. For God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, as we bring our service to a close tonight, with the sound of a siren ringing in our ear, it is only so descriptive of the trouble that there is all around us. And Lord, I pray that as the sirens would go off in our own hearts at times, and we would fret and wonder, what shall we do? How shall we ever overcome? Dear God, help us to walk by faith and to trust in Thee, that Thou would never forsake us, never leave us alone. Dear Lord, hear this our prayer tonight. Continue to be with us now. Bless us in our time of fellowship afterward. Receive our thanks for the good things that have been provided. And Lord, let us feed much upon Thy holy word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.